Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It's a privilege to be with you and study the Word of God together. Thank you for being there and listening to Hope for Today. In this lesson, we will see again that Jesus is the best person to place our hope in. He alone will not fail, and He can be trusted. Our study today brings us to Mark chapter 8. We're about halfway through this action-packed book, and in this chapter, we see Jesus feeding the 4,000. Similar to his miracle of feeding the 5,000, but this is not the same event. Our title today is The Benevolent Provider, and we are thankful Jesus still cares about the practical needs of his people. Please turn to Mark 8, and Bible teacher J. Mark will lead us through this passage.
There was a school teacher that was teaching her students simple fractions, and so she was defining for them halves and quarters. And then she asked the children to write whether they would prefer a half or a quarter of a candy bar. And as she walked around the room looking at the children's work, she noticed that some of the students had written that they would rather have a quarter of a candy bar. She was afraid she'd have to reteach the lesson because she seemed to think that the children didn't understand that a half was bigger than a quarter. But finally, she asked the students why they would rather have a quarter of a candy bar than a half. And one little girl replied, "If I only had a quarter, that means more people could have a piece of candy." So the little girl understood, and she cared about the other people around her. You know, compassion for others is something that should come naturally to us as followers of Christ, because we're empowered. We're empowered to be like Jesus. And in our lesson today, we will see Jesus' compassion on display. Our text is Mark chapter 8 and verses 1 to 10, and this is the account of Jesus feeding 4,000 people. So listen as I read. This is Mark chapter 8 and verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." Then his disciples answered him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before the multitude. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away, immediately got into a boat with the disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. This text shows how Jesus' actions validate him as the benevolent provider. The first action is he cares for all people. Someone who is benevolent, genuinely wishes others well, and takes joy in doing good. Jesus was that kind of person. We know that crowds gathered to hear him teach and witness his miracles wherever he went. And this trip into Gentile territory was no exception. The gospel writers tell us many times that Jesus felt compassion towards people. And the verb that's translated feel compassion means to be moved in one's bowels. Back in that day, the ancients considered the bowels to be the seat of our emotions. Our word compassion conveys feelings of deep sympathy and pity and kindness to people who are in pain, people who are suffering. And so this crowd had been listening to Jesus teach for 3 days, but had not adequately prepared for that marathon teaching session. Jesus knew that many in the crowd were following him out of curiosity, and yet he says explicitly, "I have compassion on them. Some will faint if I send them away to their homes because they've traveled a long way and they don't have anything to eat." To me, this reveals how our benevolent provider cares for everyone, for all people. Even though these were not, quote, his people, He was willing to show compassion to them, even to those who were graceless and unbelieving. He will receive them and pardon them freely if only they will believe in Him. Now, if you're a Christ follower, you have experienced Jesus' care in a multitude of ways. Are you willing to show His compassion to others, especially those outside the people in your group? While you and I can't miraculously provide food for someone, we can use our resources in a kind and compassionate way. So let's ask God to help us mirror Jesus' actions in His care for all people. And then there's another action that validates Jesus as the benevolent provider. And that action is He confronts doubt. How does confronting doubt validate Jesus as a benevolent provider, you might ask? Well, remember what I said at the beginning? A benevolent person genuinely wishes others well, and he takes joy in doing good. Now, here's another question. When we do good, do we always have warm feelings about it? No. Because wishing others well sometimes calls for kind and loving confrontation. The disciples doubted that they had enough bread or that they could find it in this wilderness to feed such a large crowd. You know, after all they had witnessed Jesus do, they feel as helpless as when confronted with the needs of the 5,000. Why was that? Did they assume that Jesus wouldn't miraculously feed this crowd because they were Gentiles? Maybe. To their credit, they didn't suggest to Jesus that he should send them away, as they had earlier with the predominantly Jewish crowd. You know, it's easy for you and me to judge the disciples, and yet how often do you and I doubt God's ability to provide in seemingly impossible situations, even after He has graciously provided for our daily needs for months without interruption? If the miraculous becomes commonplace, then it ceases to be miraculous, right? We must remember at this point the disciples did not yet fully recognize Jesus as God in the flesh. That only happened after Pentecost. We look at Jesus and we see His power as being permanent and inherent, that is, it came from inside Him. They saw His power as intermittent. And yet through their doubts and Jesus' responses to their doubts, their faith in Him is gradually increasing. I think it's interesting that Jesus doesn't scold His disciples for their doubt. Instead, He involves them in solving the problem. He allows the disciples to participate in this miracle of divine compassion. Now, on this occasion, they had 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish instead of 5 loaves and 2 fish. After giving thanks, Jesus began breaking the loaves and giving the disciples the pieces to distribute. He kept breaking the loaves until there was enough for everyone to eat. Try to imagine this scene as being spiritual rather than physical. Shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life." And then later, after breaking the bread at the final meal with His disciples, Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." There is no limit to the supply of living bread. No matter how many people come to Jesus in faith, there is always enough of that life-giving supply of the living bread. We all experience doubt just like the disciples did, and Jesus confronts our doubt by inviting us to trust Him. He gives us the gift of faith so we can take the next step. He asks you and me to invest in the process. And so with these actions, Jesus shows us how to care for others, gently confronting their doubts. And then the final action is He cultivates faith. You know, I can picture the crowd kind of milling around. They're uncertain about what's going to happen next. And so Jesus says, "You all need to sit down on the ground." And they obeyed. Their obedience demonstrated faith. You know, if I had been there and saw that happen, that would have created expectation on my part. It would have been a signal that something is going to happen. In response to the crowd's obedience and the cooperation of the disciples, then Jesus performed this notable miracle. He proved to them that He could be trusted and that they could confidently put their faith in Him. You know, we see this process illustrated so many times in Scripture. Even for those whose faith is weak, Jesus wants to cultivate it. He wants to help it grow. He never mocks a trusting soul. So, once everyone was satisfied, they gathered up the fragments. And by providing enough for everyone to eat, Jesus cultivated faith among those who participated. According to Matthew's account, about 4,000 men, along with women and children, shared in this miraculous meal. So after 3 days of intense ministry, culminating in this supernatural meal, Jesus enters a ship and heads back to Jewish territory. We don't know the exact location, but the following verse introduces Jesus interacting again with the Pharisees. What did the disciples learn about faith during this extended stay in Gentile territory? Well, first of all, they were exposed to Jesus' divinity. They witnessed his power over demons, over deafness, and over disease. They experienced the miraculous multiplication of food. They began to understand that only God could be the source of such power. Next, they learned the ultimate priority in life is worship. They saw Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman and the worship that she gave to Jesus. According to Matthew 15:31, it was the Gentile crowd that glorified the God of Israel. The Jewish leaders refused to worship him. And then further, through these experiences, the disciples began to understand the divine resources that were available to them. They could not yet heal or feed crowds of hungry people, but they knew someone who could. They struggled with doubt, even as Jesus cultivated their faith. And then finally, by including them in the food distribution, he demonstrated his benevolent provision for all people, regardless of their religion or their race or any other class. This called for a significant shift in the thinking of the disciples, but they needed to learn the value of all human beings. Have you experienced Jesus as a benevolent provider in your life? Do you thank him every day for his care and provision? You should do that for many reasons, primarily because he is worthy of thanks, and because thankful people are joyful. Has Jesus confronted doubt in your life by inviting you to trust him, by giving you the gift of faith to take just the next step, by asking you to invest in the process, even though you can't see how it will turn out? Make sure you extend that same grace to others who are struggling. And then finally, how is God cultivating your faith? How does he include you in his care for all people? What are you learning in your faith journey? We'd love to hear how Jesus is using you to demonstrate his benevolent provision to all people, believers and unbelievers alike.
Thanks, J. Mark, for this encouraging teaching. 3 actions of Jesus which show us he is a good provider. I had to think about the second one. He confronts doubt. I wonder if there ever was a follower of Jesus who hasn't doubted at some level. Thankfully, Jesus is caring and kind, and he is not offended or surprised by our humanness. In our lesson, it was the disciples, those who knew him best, who doubted how they could feed so many. He did not scold them. Instead, he walks with them. And today, he will do the same for you in your place of doubt. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to share a story of Jesus' provision with us, here are a few ways you can contact us. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can contact us via our website. Go to heraldsofhope.org, and there you will find Contact Us under the Partner tab on the top right. Click on that, and you can message us directly from there. We would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. We have been encouraged to put our hope and trust in Jesus. Hebrews 6 gives us a great word picture of what our hope in Jesus is like. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Our hope, an anchor for the soul. What a great thought to end with.